This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Show. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. That is exciting theme music. I was looking back on some comments made on some of the YouTube videos where I recycle my shows, and somebody was saying something about the music. No way I'm cutting that music. That is exciting. This is an exciting show. It's on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is an exciting network. It's got an exciting page at republicbroadcasting.org. And if you want to get your fix of excitement, you've got to go there and you've got to click on the donate button and send shekels. That's the way you get your fix. It's addictive, but it's not bad for you. And today we have with us Mark Dankoff. That's exciting, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Well, good to be on. And we tried to get some key news stories up in different areas of the National Bugle Radio news page, which people can find, of course, at nationalbugle.com. And all kinds of things to talk about in different arenas. We'll probably just concentrate on two or three things, obviously, because of the fact that this is a one-hour format on RBN. But nonetheless, we expect our listeners to be a reading audience as well as listening audience, and I think we have a great advantage over much of mainstream media, and that's precisely the type of person that we get who encounters this show and stays with it.
Well, and you do so much of the posting. You do the bulk of the posting on nationalbugle.com, and you get really good articles, and I don't know where to start, frankly. There's stuff on Syria, stuff on Venezuela. Where are we going to start today?
Well, I guess maybe one place to start might be Iran. We could certainly start with Syria or Venezuela. As we deal with Venezuela, just as one example, we have up on the big board Max Blumenthal's video on Information Clearinghouse. It's entitled, "Is the U.S. Meddling in Venezuela?" Blumenthal confronts certain members of Congress directly face-to-face with that question. We thank Mark Weber, of course, of IHR, for sending that along to us to post on our news page. It's an excellent video. And then, of course, as far as Venezuela is concerned, among the many things we could talk about there is President Maduro's open letter to the American people that was posted at Russia today, this morning, where he basically informs the American people of what we've been talking about on this news show, and that is basically that there should be no need for Washington to send its sons. President Maduro elected omitted saying sons and daughters and gays, anybody else, but the point is he said sons.
And whatever else.
That's right. Whatever else is out there, you're in it, folks. The LGBTQ crowd and the feminists were not mentioned by the president. But President Maduro, at least in spirit, is right with us, isn't he, when he informs us that there is no need for Washington to send its sons to death in an absurd war in Venezuela.
And I just want to interject here. I was really, really disappointed last night watching Tucker Carlson's show. Tucker Carlson is somebody who I think has been really good over the past couple of years. I really disliked him for most of his career, but he's really come along. And, you know, everybody evolves, and that's fine. But last night he had a guest on who was shilling for war in Venezuela, and Tucker Carlson agreed with him, and I was so disappointed. And you know, that's kind of an ominous sign. But what are the – you've got some well, you've got that open letter to the American people up there. What insight do you have into the deliberations going on within the administration on this?
Well, I think we get right back to something that we have been posting from a variety of different sources, and that is the Elliot Abrams story. The story of American interventionism in Venezuela, of course, goes back not simply to Mr. Abrams' recent appointment to be our point man on Venezuela, which is bad enough. But then, of course, we get back into not only the history of Elliot Abrams, which is a history of neocon Zionist interventionism since he first began influencing events in a nefarious direction in all kinds of different places, including Iran and Gaza and Palestine, by the way, not simply South America, folks, for a very, very long period of time. That is an indication that Trump is barking up exactly the wrong tree in this Venezuela matter. And I was going to suggest to President Maduro, who I'm sure is not listening to this broadcast, that if he were, however, we would ask him to propose that the president send Elliot Abrams right over Caracas in a paratroop drop, where Abrams would be by himself. The Venezuelans would know the exact drop point, and we would have a mutual interest in making sure that Elliot Abrams is never heard from again. That
and
would
let's
be
make
my,
sure Elliot Abrams gets to pack his own parachute, okay?
That's right. Pack his own parachute, take his own weapon, take his own sea rations, and hopefully a capsule or two to kill himself once he's on the ground and he's captured. But nonetheless, that would be the only interventionism that I would propose, or that any sane person would propose, that involves the United States and Venezuela, is drop Abrams in a public place in Caracas by himself. But this is basically yet another indication of the same ominous signs that we are seeing in regard to Iran and to Russia, and that is that whether you're talking about the Trump administration or you're talking about Facebook and Twitter, which according to The Guardian today have basically discontinued hundreds, quote-unquote, of so-called fake accounts listed as having links to whom? Well, certainly to Iran and certainly to Russia and to Venezuela.
This oh, they're attacking our democracy again through Facebook ads. Is
that's
that
right. Through Facebook ads.
It's an
ads.
Attack. We're already at war. We just don't know it.
That's right. And presumably some of these sites were Russian and Iranian in Venezuela because ostensibly they contained pictures of Elliot Abrams in the nude at the last cabinet meeting. Now, that's a joke, folks. I'm sure that they didn't include that. But nonetheless, this is an example of what is going on. This dovetails specifically with something we might zero in on today as it pertains to Iran specifically, and that's something that Mohammed Sahimi has posted at the Low Blog, and that's entitled Bolton, Pompeo, and Iran's Fake Opposition. I'm very familiar with the Mojahideen-e-Khalq because they tried to assassinate my father in Iran over 40 years ago in Tehran. That's a long story, but I know a great deal about the MEK and have sources to people like Masoud Kodabanda, formerly of the MEK, now living in the UK, who really tell us the real side story about the MEK at IranInterlink.org, among other places. I would have people take a look at the Rand Corporation dossier on the MEK, which acquaints us with the fact that this is a long-term so-called Islamic terror organization with blood in its hands in a number of different places, not the least of which has been the murder of 17,000 citizens in mm-hmm. Iran since the revolution, but also their killings of Americans during the days of Pahlavi. And the thing that's fascinating to me about the Mohammed Sahimi piece, which I also passed along to Dr. Paul Sheldon Foote at Cal State Fullerton today, who's an old Iran hand in the Middle East and is frequently on press television. He's a Ron Paul Republican. He is another insider, an inside source on the MEK and what it's really all about. I told Dr. Foote to take a look at this article because Sahimi goes not simply into the MEK/MKO organization, but there are some new players, new Iranian individuals that I've never heard of with new organizations I have not heard of that have clear links to Pompeo and to Bolton mm-hmm. that are described in this piece that tell us the extent to which the neocon Zionist nexus is ratcheting it up and this whole area of anti-Iran propaganda at the behest of the same people that are rooting for an intervention in Venezuela that will be led by Elliot Abrams from his desk in Washington, and that, of course, will continue to demonize Vladimir Putin's Russia. The fascinating thing, again, if one is taking a look at what Mohammed Sahimi has said today at Loblog, is to get into a story that we have also posted here at National Bugle that deals with something that goes back a ways, folks, but this is why it's so important. Truth Dig and a gentleman by the name of Joel Whitney have an article which we have posted that's entitled The CIA's Masterful Use of Fake News. This goes back to ancient interventionism, as it were. In 1953, Iran... That was, of course, the famous, now infamous...
Operation Ajax. Let's say it together.
Operation Ajax. But also Whitney gets into the fact that in early 1954, the CIA was continuing its agitation propaganda over Iran in a magazine called Counter. Encounter was a major CIA front in the 1950s. The first part of Whitney's piece goes extensively into a so-called F.R. Aleman, who slammed the ex-prime minister of Iran, Mohammad Mossadegh, for alleged abuses in a so-called letter from Tehran, which you can find a link to there in that article. It was titled Persia, Land of Unrealities. And this was nothing more than a CIA front piece to continue distorting the actual record and the actual ideological identity of Mohammad Mossadegh, who was the, of course, victim of Operation Ajax in 1953, courtesy of Kermit Roosevelt and the CIA and the British MI6. But as you go on to read through this incredible account of this so-called Encounter magazine, and Iran stands as the first test case to what these people were all about in the 1950s and 60s, some of the other familiar test has come up that involve such places as Guatemala, for example, the Guatemalan coup, and the overthrow of the Arbenz regime. Other things are listed here, but Chile comes up, and of course,
Allende, 1973.
The coup in Indonesia and the whole Sukarno business of the 1960s is chronicled
really
here.
Dangerously.
Yes, and as we look at this whole business of what it is that Joel Whitney talks about at Dig in this post entitled The CIA's Masterful Use of Fake News, this dovetails really with the brand new Mohammed Sahimi piece at Loblog. What were we doing in the 1950s? What are we doing now in 2019? And what are the similarities? What are the differences? But certainly the striking thing to me is that in the wake of the clear end of the Cold War, that the neocons and the Zionists are going back, of course, to the interventionist world policeman stage for their ideological program, not rooted in anti-communism as much as it is, obviously, pro-Zionism and pro-globalism. That's what the disinformation machine is all about now. So whether you're looking at Mohammed Sahimi and Loblog, you're looking at Joel Whitney's piece in Truth Dig, or what it is that comes to us from the Guardian San Francisco correspondent, Ms. Wong, today, that we posted up there about what it is that Facebook and Twitter are doing, alleged false accounts linked to Russia, Iran, and Venezuela. This whole thought control machine, this whole information manipulation machine, is in full swing now, and it seems to me that Mr. Trump, and Paul Craig Roberts notes this today in his assessment of the Trump speech, which we also put up on the big board, it is a great irony that the very people that Mr. Trump must understand by now are literally trying to overthrow his government are the same people that he is working with, folks, mm-hmm. throw the Venezuelan government. Mm-hmm.
That is
that government.
That, I mean, that's a really important point.
Yes.
And I'm going to reemphasize it. The same people that Trump is working with in order to overthrow Venezuela are the very same individuals, really, who are the never Trumpers trying to overthrow him. I have a couple of comments and a question.
Sure.
So regarding Venezuela, the guy on Tucker's show last night, I don't know what his name was, but he was introduced as some sort of expert. And the case he was making was that Venezuela had been a bastion of democracy and prosperity in South America. Then Hugo Chavez came along. He usurped the country, and he and his successor Maduro Maduro, is that how you say his name? Have run the country into the ground. They've taken it away from the people. They destroyed the democracy. And we need to intervene in order to give Venezuela back to the Venezuelans. And Tucker couldn't agree more, which was really, really disappointing. Now, my position
sickening, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things going on. I'm not an expert on the region. You know, there's certainly oil. There's certainly things, you know, financial things, currency, central banking, whatnot. There's certainly geopolitics. And Chavez had said some, he had said some things that got up the Israelis and the Zionist noses. There's a lot going on there. Is there economic mismanagement? Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I would think there probably is some. Is there economic sabotage going on from the CIA? I would think that too. But at the end of the day, I don't want to intervene there, no matter what combination there is of these factors. I don't want to intervene there at all. It's not our business. Same with Iran. And the other comment I want to make is when you see demonstrations, you see demonstrations in Caracas, certainly, eight years ago, 5 years ago, you were seeing these demonstrations in Tehran over what was supposedly the stolen re-election by then-president Ahmadinejad, or Ahmadinejad, I think it's the correct pronunciation. And they had these demonstrations in Tehran, and CNN and NBC would say, look, this proves that the election was stolen, because you have big demonstrations in the capital cities. I just want to remind people that Washington, D.C., the capital of America, voted Trump got about 5% of the vote there. He got less than the combined third party vote in Washington, D.C. I think maybe even 4% is all he got. Not too much different in New York City. And so it doesn't matter what the consensus is among the urban dwellers of the capital city. That doesn't mean that. And the same with Kiev. Doesn't mean that. Now, the question I have for you, because you're talking about the CIA, and we know how the media is. In the past, for instance, Christine Amanpour has been, you know, one of the spokespeople for intervention in Bosnia, intervention here, intervention there. And she's on CNN. She is their senior foreign correspondent. And she's married to Jamie Rubin, the Jewish spokesperson for the State Department under Madeleine Albright. And
gee, what a coincidence.
Yes, I know. And so the question, to what extent, because you hear about this, and I don't know, but to what extent do you really think there is active cooperation between, you know, CNN and other news outlets on the one hand, and the CIA on the other? To what extent? Because there's certainly been lots of talk of that, and there's probably some evidence. What do you think about that?
Well, years ago, I met the late William Colby at a seminar that was being run in the Washington, D.C. area.
And William Colby was a former CIA director?
Yeah, former CIA director. And Colby met a most ignominious end in the first part of April of 1996 that is chronicled in a book on his life that I believe is considered to be the definitive biography of William Colby. I think the title of it is Shadow Warrior. And William Colby, folks, both at the time, I thought that there were too many things that did not add up in terms of his death. The first chapter of this definitive biography of William Colby, William Egan Colby, entitled Shadow Warrior, deals with all of the discrepancies and the improbabilities and the downright absurdities in the official explanation as to what happened to him in this so-called drowning accident there when he decided to go out canoeing one night in his 70s when he had the flu, right? That's the official story. But at any rate, Colby was, I don't remember whether he reiterated this point when I saw him in the seminar or whether he said this elsewhere.
And we got about 30 seconds before the break.
But he basically said that in terms of mainstream journalism, that there was no journalistic source in the United States that you could name with mainstream media who was not ultimately controlled by the Central Intelligence Agency.
Wow. I'd really like to know, which individual journalists have what kind of connections. I wonder if this is, if there are real CIA plants, or if this is, when they cite their sources, or have they developed these sources at the CIA that they rely on? Okay, well, we'll be right back after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wondering if any of the great products you have, I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
We are back. And Mark, so we've got a lot to talk about. Were you done with your story about William Colby and whatnot?
Yeah, I was just going to say that while we're talking about this or anything else you wish to get into, I'm going to post Paul Craig Roberts on William Colby and Colby's statement that the CIA owns everyone of significance in the major American media. And that also gets into the story of the German reporter some years ago, who before he died talked to the extent to which he was directed by, I believe, both American and German intelligence. But I'll get that up on the big board, and we can go wherever you want to go from here.
Okay, well, there's an interesting article that you posted, and this was written by, what was the guy's name? Something Eisenstadt. He was a top aide to Jimmy Carter.
Stu Eisenstadt,
Stu Eisenstadt.
Yes.
And he's Jewish. And this, I guess, is this a book review by Philip Weiss of Mondo Weiss?
As I recall, that's correct. And basically, Eisenstadt's book, I was not even aware of until I saw Phil Weiss's review of it in Mondo Weiss, where Eisenstadt was basically saying that President Jimmy Carter, believed that his failure to be reelected was due to American Jews in this country who deserted him on the settlements issue. That was the gist of the review of the book.
And of course, the first George Bush believed more or less the same thing, that he had been undermined because in the wake of the Persian Gulf War, the first Gulf War, which I thought was a massive disaster, but I do remember at the time, in the wake of the Gulf War, when George Bush was riding high with 90% approval ratings, that he organized this Madrid conference. And the PLO, which had sided with Iraq, he actually showed a great deal of magnanimity towards them, invited them in to try to solve this issue. And his administration had frozen loan guarantees that and made the unfreezing conditional on a freeze in settlements, right? Either you freeze settlements or we're going to freeze the loan guarantees.
Yes. And actually, you can go back to a number of other things as well. Michael Collins Piper wrote about this somewhat extensively before his death into the role of American Jews in subverting the Nixon presidency. As it was believed that Nixon was going to move the United States in a quote-unquote more even-handed position on this whole issue of Israel and Palestine. And the point of all of this for me is that going all the way back, of course, to the Kennedy assassination and questions about the Meyer-Lansky, David Ben-Gurion link to that, which Piper wrote about in Final Judgment, which was his magnum opus, or talking about Richard Nixon, talking about Jimmy Carter, talking about George Herbert Walker Bush. The fact is that this entire fraud that has been perpetrated for years about a so-called two-state solution to this Israeli-Palestinian problem is precisely that. It's a fraud because at the same time this continues being proposed by different people. Israel continues its land thievery. It continues its illegal settlements. It has now stolen East Jerusalem. It is continuing to settle the so-called West Bank illegally. It continues these genocidal policies in Gaza, not to mention the wars that it continues to enlist the United States in with countries that we should not have a beef with, including Syria, and, of course, including Iran. But when you look at this whole question, American loan guarantees, American subsidies to Israel, not simply the almost $4 billion a year we simply hand them, but the supplemental billions of about $38 billion.
Yeah, all sorts of things. The loan guarantees. I think a big deal is the sale of so-called surplus weaponry at bargain basement prices.
Exactly.
All sorts of means.
American military technology transfers to Israel. What they haven't stolen, we give them. Phil Giraldi has written extensively on this at the Council for the National Interest.
And we keep arsenals of weapon over in Israel, which they don't have to buy until they need them, but we keep them over.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, dealing with the Israeli lobby money that buys American elections, that's a topic for a whole show on itself, of course. The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs and this listing of all of the monies that go to all of these federal politicians in the House and the Senate is a most instructive list. That some of the ones published in past years you can see online to see who Israel buys and has bought and how much influence they have in about six key committees in the House and the Senate. This is what they're all about, folks, not to mention the Boltons and the Pompeos and the Elliott Abrams of the world. and the Victoria Nulands of the world and the Nikki Haleys of the world that are little more than agents for the Israeli government and the Israeli Jewish lobby in the United States. That's what this is all about.
Okay.
And 30 seconds. And when we look at this, we can add all of the Jew non-governmental organizations that are funding all kinds of money to Israel in support of these illegal settlements and so forth. But they cause kings to rise and fall in this country, which is what the whole Trump thing is all about.
Okay, we'll be right back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And so, Mark, there's a bunch of interesting articles you have on nationalbugle.com. One is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and his assessment of President Trump's State of the Union. What was his take on it?
Well, it's interesting. Paul Craig Roberts talked about a number of things in that particular assessment of President Trump's speech. And it was basically, I think, largely both a positive and a very negative evaluation of the speech. It would seem to me that if we turn to the big board now and take a look at what it is that Paul Craig Roberts was saying in that particular address, I'm going to look at where we actually posted that, and that is found under Elections and Politics. It's about the fourth story. We start looking at what it is that Paul Craig Roberts has said about it. He said, on the one hand, the speech was successful, quote unquote, because Trump spoke common sense and appealed for unity. He emphasized restoring America's greatness, a Reagan theme. He made clear that the Democratic's policy of trying to discredit him, get him out of office, was preventing the government from moving ahead with issues that need addressing.
Which is true.
Yeah. Paul Craig Roberts says, I believe everyone knows this, including the Democrats and the prostitutes. When he says the speech was successful, he says, I mean for Americans. Foreigners, says Paul Craig Roberts, witnessing the chant, USA, 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 saw the quote-unquote exceptionalism that has been Washington's excuse for doing so much damage to others in the 21st century. So in this particular case, Paul Craig Roberts defends Trump on borders. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, criticizes Trump on China for the president's failure to recognize that our trade problems with China are largely the result of deliberate exportation of American manufacturing jobs to China by the multinationals. That needs to be underscored. And then, of course, Trump, his worst defeat, Paul Craig Roberts says, a defeat that could result in the destruction of the U.S. and the world, is his defeat on the Russian front.
Mm-hmm.
Russia gave.
And he also had a recent article that you posted asking, is Putin too polite?
Yes. And basically, Trump, is, as Paul Craig Roberts notes, has imposed more sanctions on Russia now. He's withdrawn disastrously from the Iran nuclear agreement. He's withdrawn from the intermediate-range nuclear treaty with the Russians. And he declared his intent to scrap the last remaining arms control agreement in 2021. Paul Craig Roberts provides a thumbs down for all of that and concludes that the American government on these is absolutely, using his term, insane. Mm-hmm. And he cites Stephen Cohen in this, the rapidity with which Washington is pushing us to nuclear Armageddon and the way in which that's receiving no attention in the mainstream media. He goes on, I think the last point that he makes here is something that we've perhaps already done on the show here. We'll quote him. It is equally disconcerting, Dr. Roberts says, that Trump, himself a target of an ongoing coup to remove him from office, has given his support to a coup to remove the elected president of Venezuela and replace him with an unelected American stooge who declared himself to be president.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. He's a Trump. And himself, the object of a coup, is supporting a coup somewhere else.
Exactly. Just as Roberts points out, Obama was conspiring against the elected presidents of Honduras, Ukraine. Trump is doing the same with Maduro, as Paul Craig Roberts outlines it accurately here. And he concludes by saying that he sees poetic justice in the Democratic Party's conspiracy against Trump. Mm-hmm. So there you have his assessment of
what kind of poetic justice? What is he referring to when he says that?
Well, I think he's basically saying, here you have the president of the United States who quite clearly is fighting a deep state coup against government, at the same time that he is serving as a point person in appointing Elliot Abrams, Mr. coup d'etat himself, Mr. interventionism himself, Mr. Zionist himself, Mr. globalist himself, Mr. convicted crook himself, to be our liaison to Venezuela, where the entire world can see that Trump, whether he actually believes this nonsense that he's been saying on Venezuela, or whether the deep state has a gun to the president's head and is forcing him to say these things, is immaterial to the fact that that's basically what he's doing, and that it's very ironic that he who is in the middle of fighting the deep state's literal attempt at a coup d'etat against himself is turning around and supporting what he's supporting in Venezuela, or take a look at Ukraine. where we've posted, I think is still up on the big board, the story from Russia Insider of James Jatras about the extent to which the United States, with Pompeo and Bolton and the American ambassador to the Ukraine, has been deliberately facilitating LGBTQ support on the part of the American government in Kiev that is directed on behalf of President Poroshenko, the illegitimate crook that we installed in a coup in that country in February 2014, and use all of this against Vladimir Putin and Russia, even to the point of handing $25 million over to this Orthodox patriarch in Constantinople to come up with a fake Tomos, T-O-M-O-S, which I guess is an Eastern Orthodox term for a proclamation of legitimacy for the Ukrainian Orthodox Church to remove itself from its traditional relationship to Russian Orthodox Church and the Russian Patriarch, and to basically have this guy in Constantinople proclaim that the Orthodox Church needs to loosen its traditional anti-LGBTQ positions, which is heretical in the Orthodox Church, mm-hmm. especially when a patriarch is spouting that kind of nonsense. And for this patriarch to have taken $25 million in CIA-tainted money in order to help Poroshenko and to help the LGBTQ crowd in Kiev not only slap the Russian Orthodox Church in the face and divide Orthodox believers in the Ukraine, largely for purposes related to neocon Zionist central banking intervention in that country, getting rid of the duly elected president there in February of 2014, bringing Poroshenko in, and then using all of the tools that the New World Order has at its disposal to subvert the Orthodox Church on this very serious moral issue mm-hmm. in Ukraine, and specifically for anti-Putin, anti-Russian Orthodox Church, anti-Russian purposes. This is nefarious business, and so it begs the question, what is Donald Trump doing there with his people engaged in this sort of nefarious business? Mm-hmm. That is pushing the envelope in terms of what Obama, Clinton, and the Victoria Nuland have mm-hmm. already done in that country. And now, of course, Trump is adding Venezuela to his very dubious quiver of neocon arrows that are aimed directly at this time at the Maduro regime in Venezuela, in Caracas. And, of course, this Elliot Abrams thing is just so transparently obvious that it has entered the realm of the ridiculous. It's almost Saturday Night Live stuff at this point.
So, Elliot Abrams is actually, I believe he is the step, or what it, was it, the son-in-law of Norman Podoritz?
Yes.
Yeah, so you got that connection. They're very inbred, these neocons. I have a quick question about, I thought you mentioned the patriarch in Constantinople.
Yes.
So Constantinople, current day, it's called Istanbul.
Yes.
Is there an Orthodox headquarters in Turkish-run Istanbul?
Yes, and I guess this goes back to the yes, there is, and it goes back to the ancient world, I guess, where when you look at the most ancient patriarchates in the Eastern Church, you get back to a list that I'm going to quickly consult so I don't eliminate any of them. But Constantinople is at the top of the list. This would include Turkey, Crete, the Dodecanese Islands, and the Diaspora, according to the list I have. The other ancient ones, the classics, are Alexandria, of course, Antioch, and Jerusalem. So the Constantinople Patriarchate is one of the four classic ancient patriarchates of the Eastern Christian community. And, of course, their current patriarch has taken $25 million from the Central Intelligence Agency to help Pompeo and Bolton and Victoria Nuland and the American ambassador in the Ukraine sow division in the Orthodox Church and promote pro-LGBTQ policies that this patriarch in Constantinople or Istanbul has now gingerly provided some degree of support for, unbelievably, which has caused an absolute outrage in the Orthodox Church in many circles, especially, of course, in the Russian Orthodox. So this is the full extent to which the neocon Zionist gospel of democracy, quote unquote, finds its way to the fore. This is, of course, another version of what the United States was promoting against Putin with the Pussy Riot demonstrations in Moscow, which involved desecrations inside a Russian Orthodox cathedral in Moscow, largely unreported in the Western press in terms of the fully obscene inside the temple desecrations that were undertaken by these people.
Completely obscene. And
completely
not just
obscene.
Inside, not just inside the temple, there were these Pussy Rioters. One of them in particular had she and some of her husband or boyfriend and some other cohorts had managed to get into a Moscow museum after it was closed, and they filmed themselves having an orgy, which is quite pornographic.
Yeah, and when you see the money of George Soros that was involved in this, and then, of course, it doesn't take a great deal of imagination, especially with what the American government has now done in paying off this called Orthodox Patriarch in Istanbul to the tune of $25 million to help them buttress the Poroshenko regime in the Ukraine, and so dissent in the Orthodox Church in that country. But we go back to the Pussy Riot thing. You have all of the usual sources of money directly and indirectly that appear to have been behind that. You start talking about the United States Agency for International Development using its front groups. You've got Soros involved in this. You have some of the LGBTQ organizations around the world directly and indirectly involved in supporting what happened in Moscow with this Pussy Riot situation.
And Pussy Riot, for people who don't recall, it's a girl punk rock band. And the two leaders of it, weren't they invited to some UN function?
Yes, and of course this was used and continues to be used, as I'm sure this situation in the Ukraine and with this patriarch in Constantinople/Istanbul is now being used to buttress these cultural Marxists around the world who have the Zionist globalist agenda and are very skillfully being used, in this case, folks, by a Republican administration. This is Bolton. This is Pompeo. This is Nuland working through her most current foreign policy front. This is where the neocon neoliberal alliance of the so-called establishment right and left in the United States is concerned. This is the way they operate, and in full conjunction with mainstream media, and in full conjunction with certain elements of the UN that certainly have the globalist agenda on LGBTQ and abortion, infanticide, and euthanasia firmly within their own quiver. So this is basically what's going on here, and the actual forms of intervention may change from time to time, given a particular situation in a particular country. But as I've discussed and has been discussed by some of the best commentators around the world, the United States...
Mr. T, go forth. Thank you for your service.
Hey, yeah. Hey, that's your dog, not mine. Mine are here in the studio, but that's your... Just as long as Mr. Stadtmiller knows that that's your dog that barked and not mine, we're on good terms.
Not just my dog, that's my engineer.
Oh, that's your engineer. We are really in trouble then. Oh, that's the engineer at RBN. Oh, okay, very good. But at any rate, new employee, haven't met him yet. But as far as the interventionism is concerned, the demonization in media, mainstream media, the attempt at subverting alternative points of view on these regimes being expressed in social media and responsible alternative media using social media, that's underway. Economic sanctions that are designed to produce the economic conditions that the indigenous regime is then blamed for. That's all involved in this. And then, of course, last but not least, if everything else fails, then we turn to military interventionism. And this is where, back to Maduro's open letter that we posted from RT on the National Bugle radio site today, and where we also look at Pompeo's rather obvious display of his notepad recently, which talked about 5,000 troops, right, that might be sent to Colombia for the obvious hint that they would be used there to launch some kind of American military operation against Venezuela. And when you look at this whole range of things, it also involves what Dr. E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars chronicles probably better than anyone else in the world, and that is the moral and sexual subversion of a particular culture, using abortion, pornography, LGBTQ, and all of these other things to desensitize a population and to divert a population from the forces that are manipulating their country's situation from the outside. And all of this plays about in the same game plan, whether you're talking Venezuela, whether you're talking about Iran, whether you're talking about Russia, whether you're talking about the Ukraine, it's always the same combination of methodologies that are being used. E. Michael Jones, by the way, has a marvelous video out there on his talk.
About 30 seconds.
His talk in Warsaw on this subject, the sexual subversion of cultures. He talks about that on YouTube. Look for his presentation in Warsaw on YouTube to see the way in which this is being used around the world.
Okay, and we'll be right back after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, okay, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from...
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So, Mark, the last article I want to ask you about, this is from yesterday by a Mark Perry. I'm not familiar with his name. I wonder if he is related to the late Robert Perry.
I don't think so. And the only reason I say that is the spelling of the last name is different.
Oh, okay.
Mark Perry is P-E-R-R-Y. The late Robert Perry, the great Robert Perry of Counterpunch and many in Newsweek magazine years ago, was P-A-R-R-Y.
So, okay. So this is from the American Conservative, and the title is Trump's Eyeball-to-Eyeball Orders to the Generals on Syria. Despite the storm and fury, the Syria withdrawal policy is unambiguous and going forward. Well, that's good news if true. What do you make of this?
Well, I read the story this morning. I posted the story, of course, for the listeners and also for you and for me to take a look at. I don't know what to make of it. I hope that Mark Perry is correct. And, of course, he says a number of things that we know absolutely to be correct. He points out, first and foremost, that during the State of the Union address, that when Mr. Trump had a big punchline about, as a candidate for president, quote, I loudly pledged a new approach, great nations do not fight endless wars, unquote. Perry notes that he drew a tepid response from Congress. Mm-hmm. The planned applause line fell discernibly flat. Mm-hmm. That's significant. That's not a jibe at the president at that point, folks. That's an indication of where this Congress is headed with both of the major political parties, and that is anything but a laughing matter. But then, of course, as we continue, Perry notes that the withdrawal has been condemned by leaders from across the political spectrum. Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, Mitch McConnell, who orchestrated this resolution condemning the withdrawal in the Senate, a non-binding resolution. That was a lopsided vote. Richard Haass, the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, has called this withdrawal a bad idea that constitutes a strategic defeat for the U.S.
The Jewish head of what's basically a Jewish-run organization.
Exactly. Max Boot, there you have it, folks. We'll throw his name in there. MSNBC, Regular General Barry McCaffrey, former Army Chief of Staff Jack Keane, former Marine General James Mattis. And as we go through this entire listing, we find ourselves at this juncture also looking at the American ambassador to Iraq that Mr. Trump met with when he was there with his wife in Iraq recently. That's Douglas Silliman. And then Lieutenant General Paul LaCamera, who is the commander of the Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve, the military organization established in October of 2014 to, quote-unquote, degrade and defeat ISIS. Now, in this particular case, I think that as we read the amount of establishment opposition to this that's taking place, Perry believes that at the grassroots level of the military, they're simply carrying out what they understand the president's order to be, which is to get out of Syria, and to get the 2,200 troops out is approximately going to take 90 days, which is not unusual. And then as you read through this entire account, there are two things missing from this article. One is who got us into this in the first place. That's Israel. Mm-hmm. That's Israel, folks. We were supporting ISIS in Syria because of Israel and Saudi Arabia. Secondarily, there are all kinds of things that Mark Perry doesn't mention that I think would be forthcoming to subvert Mr. Trump's stated intention on Syria. But let's hope that Mark Perry is right and that Mark Dankoff is wrong.
Okay, well, it has been an exciting show. Thank you so much for showing up. Next week, we do have the Choice Award, probably on Tuesday, Stay tuned.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening.